Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
70 degrees. Right now it's 64 degrees in Nashville at 9 o'clock.
Come on up some night, my castle's rocking.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, Public Radio's last line of defense against inarticulate expression and careless grammar. There are 10 points up for grabs. There are 10 points, or there is 10 points?
There are 10
points. 10 points are up for grabs. You can say 10 points is up for grabs.
Right. 10 points up for grabs. We'll define terms you've never encountered. And if words fail us, we'll demonstrate.
Tony's going to do it in person.
Right here. 10 points for Mr. Khan, yes. Another great moment in radio, ladies and gentlemen.
If you'll come back in the evening, we have the synchronized swim for you.
Encounter Says You. After this.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Greece seems to be headed for a repeat election after top party leaders met with the country's president today and failed to agree on forming a coalition government. John Syropoulos has more from Athens.
The radical left Syriza has for the last time scuppered any hopes that it might join more moderate parties in a coalition. Syriza denounces Greece's bailout and austerity program as disharmonious with the popular will. It came in a surprise second in last Sunday's election with 17% of the vote. Greece's creditors say there is no alternative way for Greece to remain within the eurozone. Syriza's refusal to cooperate means that the democratic left also withdraws, and that leaves only the socialists and conservatives who lack the seats to govern. They wanted a two-year administration that would keep the euro and renegotiate rather than renounce the tough austerity package. Greece is now likely to hold a repeat election next month, and that could jeopardize its membership in the euro. For NPR News, I'm John Syropoulos in Athens.
J.P. Morgan Chase chief executive Jamie Dimon says he reacted badly to warning flags about his bank's trading losses. Speaking on NBC's Meet the Press today, he said he was dead wrong when he dismissed concerns about the bank's trading, calling them a tempest in a teapot. Now he says he did not know the extent of the problem. J.P. Morgan's $2 billion loss over 6 weeks has renewed the push to toughen financial regulations. Dimon says he supports giving the government authority to take down a failing big bank, but says J.P. Morgan remains strong. China, Japan, and South Korea are warning North Korea that they will not tolerate another nuclear test. As NPR's Louisa Lim reports, a warning came at a trilateral summit in Beijing today.
South Korea's president Lee Myung-bak says they will not accept any more provocations from North Korea. He is not saying what will happen if Pyongyang pushes ahead with its threatened nuclear test. China's premier Wen Jiabao says a pressing task is to prevent tensions on the Korean peninsula from escalating. China, Japan and South Korea are also agreeing to begin talks about a free trade agreement. China's Xinhua news agency argues this could lift the three countries' economies. But reaching a pact, which has been on the table for a decade, will not be easy. The countries have, however, agreed to an investment agreement as a first step towards deepening economic ties. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Beijing.
Government forces backed by armored vehicles are reported to have overrun a village west of the Syrian city of Hama. Activists say at least 5 people were killed. They say the village was a flashpoint for demonstrations against President Bashar al-Assad. Police in New Zealand say the investigation into a vehicle crash that killed 3 Boston University students and injured 5 others will take some time, and no conclusions can be drawn just yet. 2 of the injured students have been released from a hospital. This is NPR News. Authorities in Southern California have launched a massive search for a missing FBI agent who is believed to be suicidal. They say Special Agent Stephen Ivins is armed, but not a threat to others. He is described as an avid runner and a hiker. Dogs have tracked his scent to the rugged mountains east of Burbank, but searchers have fanned out to look throughout Los Angeles County. California Governor Jerry Brown is sounding the alarm about the state budget. He says tax collections have not been as high as expected, and the economy has not been growing as fast as hoped either.
The result is that we're now facing a $16 billion hole.
not the $9 billion we thought in January.
He says the state faces deep budget cuts if voters fail to approve tax increases in November. One of the most famous battleships of World War II is about to ply the waters of the California coast for the last time. NPR's Jim Howard reports on the upcoming voyage of the USS Iowa.
Anyone who has ever stepped aboard the Iowa quickly notices her 9 16-inch guns, each capable of tossing a shell weighing about the same as a small car and impressive 24 miles. The ship also played a role in what was to become one of the most iconic images of World War II, carrying President Franklin Delano Roosevelt to the Yalta summit with Winston Churchill and Joseph Stalin. At the end of the war, the Iowa accompanied the USS Missouri for the Japanese surrender in Tokyo Bay. The 887-foot, 58,000-ton ship was fast, capable of reaching 33 knots. In addition to World War II, the Iowa served in the Korean conflict and escorted tankers during the Iran-Iraq War. Next week, she will be towed to the port of Los Angeles and San Pedro for commissioning as a museum on July 4th. Jim Howard, NPR News in Washington.
And I'm Giles Snyder, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from the Vital Projects Fund, supporting the Museum of Modern Art, now presenting the retrospective Cindy Sherman. More at MoMA.org.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Support for Says You in San Francisco comes from the good folks at KQED-FM and the Intercontinental Mark Hopkins Hotel, on the web at intercontinentalhotels.com.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
From the stage of the Canbar Theater at the Jewish Community Center in San Francisco, California, welcome to Says You, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. There's an electricity in the air when he's about, because he's always getting static. Barry Nolan. There's an unmistakable undercurrent when she is near. It's impossible to resist her. Francine Akbar. And he's an unstoppable linguistic dynamo. And today's the day he could blow Mr. Tony Khan. Who's up for captaining today?
Try to resist me.
Francine will be the captain. To my left, team two. If you want to know what's going on, she's the one who can keep you current. Paula Lyons. Though he's often off speaking on the circuit, he just can't wait to get home. Arnie Raceman. And if it's high-voltage intellect you're looking for, she's the jewel in the Says You crown, Miss Carolyn Faye Fox. And who's going to step up?
Captain Bug Zapper.
Mr. Reisman will step to the fore. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin with a round of odd man out. Which of the following does not belong in the list? 5 points for the correct answer, 5 more for telling me why. Carolyn, cat.
Cat.
I, E-Y-E.
I.
Fire.
Fire.
And footprints.
Footprints. Footprints. Let's see.
Cat, eye, fire, and footprints. What's the odd one out?
Not about a paw. Cat's eye, firefly, catfly.
Is there a missing word?
No, okay. It's not about that.
There's not a missing word. There's not a word that goes with three of them but not the other?
Not a word, no.
It's not a
word. I see, an idea.
An idea.
Okay, invisible.
Catnip. Cat.
Well, it's not a...
I know. Well, so well, where do you start?
Where do you start when... Yeah.
How about I doesn't belong?
Unfortunately, that's not correct.
All right.
It does belong.
Well, that will help us narrow it down.
Yes, it sure
okay,
will.
Three to go, Carolyn.
All right. Let's see. Fire is the odd one out.
Fire is... Not the odd one out. No, that's not true.
This is slow, but it does work.
That would probably make Cat the odd one out.
Cat is not the odd one out. So we're just going to go for the back 5 points.
We're about minus four now.
We are.
Oh, my goodness.
Footprints is the odd one out, obviously. Why?
Hairball, eyeball, fireball.
Cat, hairball? Hairball? The word was cat.
I know, but when you think cat, you think hairball.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I might just give him a point to end the agony. That might work for him. Anybody have any thoughts on the other side? Can help you out, maybe?
Nothing's coming.
Flavors of Jell-O.
That's about as good. Flavors of Jell-O. Right. Unsuccessful flavors of Jell-O.
Jell-O.
Are they marbles or something like that?
They are not. Anyone in the audience know?
Gems.
No. I'm sorry. Started off with a hard one. Footprints is indeed the odd one out. The others can be put out.
You can put out a cat and eye in fire. Oh my God. So it is a concept.
You can put out the cat, you can put out a fire, you can put out your eye. Watch that thing.
I've seen that movie.
But I couldn't find footprints being put out anywhere.
Okay.
All right, so you know what you're up against. Try this one, Tony.
I tremble.
What's the odd one out? Knots. K-N-O-T-S. Knots.
Okay.
Landing.
you're kidding.
Cute.
Yeah.
Foyer. F-O-Y-E-R.
Landing.
And friend, F-R-I-E-N-D. Knots, landing, foyer, and friend. What's the odd one out?
Let's see. Knots has got to be in there. It's just one of those things that likes to belong, you know. No one's going to kick out the knots.
If you run into trouble, I'll give you one more, and that'll probably
foyer,
give it to you.
Foyer, knots, friend, landing. Well, God, the landing was...
You can untie a knot.
Yes.
You can unfriend... someone on Facebook.
And when they left the moon, it was an unlanding.
Yes. So Boyer's the odd man out.
Foyer is the odd man out. That's 5 points. Pitiful, just pitiful. It is the odd one out. You get 5 points. I don't believe it.
Is it something to do with slip?
It is not. I can give you, at the cost of 3 points, I can give you one other one. You'll absolutely get it.
That wouldn't be so bad.
Knots, landing, foyer, friend, and wharf.
Oh!
Fisherman.
Fisherman's is exactly right.
Fisherman's
knots, fisherman's landing, fisherman's friend, for those of you who don't remember that one, and fisherman's foyer, I have never heard of. Although I'm sure there is one.
Right.
Boy, we've been doing this too long.
Yeah,
you're stretching these.
Wait till you hear this next one. Here's the tribute that I give to Arnie every time.
Okay. Gabardine.
Hardest, most unfair, most rotten one of them all. What's the odd one out? William Gordon in 1779.
Oh, please.
Okay.
In 1779.
That's
specific.
Idonis Burke in 1790. A-E-D-A-N-U-S.
Burke, B-U-R-K-E,
in 1790. James Monroe in 1797. And Aaron Burr in 1804. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that coming. Which is the odd one out?
Does it have to do with a duel?
James Monroe.
It has to do with a duel, yes.
James Monroe.
It is not James
Monroe.
Really?
So he it's Burke.
Burke is not. Here we go again.
Gordon, then.
Here we go. Give it a shot, Arnie. Give it a shot. See if you can do it.
It has to do, well, the only one I can think of that has anything to do with the duels, Aaron Burr. So
yes.
So the other three...
Did not kill the person they were facing.
They
in
were
the
all
duel.
Facing Alexander Hamilton?
He's exactly
Alexander.
Right.
Oh, my God.
So the odd man out is, of course...
Well, Burr, because he killed him.
That's the... You know, 10 points. That's a real hard question. Give him 10 points.
Oh, my God.
Wow. All dueled Alexander Hamilton. He was a dueling kind of guy.
And...
He was a dueling fool.
Yeah. By the pistol. Yeah.
But Burr put an end to that nonsense in 1804, and that was that. All right, try this one, Francine. What's the odd one out? Honesty. As H-O-N-E-S-T-Y,
always
honesty.
Out,
yes.
Politics.
I should have put that one in, actually. Honesty, seriousness.
Seriousness.
These were the Lennon sisters.
Yes. Dedication. You remember dedication.
Oh,
yes.
She was the short one.
Yes.
And likelihood.
Likelihood.
Honesty, seriousness, dedication, and likelihood.
Oh. Yep.
So this is the one.
Well, once again, the other side always gets it first. I never could figure this out.
Yep, we've got it.
I think you do
honesty.
A game of Browning.
Yep.
Honesty, seriousness, dedication, and likelihood. What's the odd one out?
Well, I feel as though likelihood is not exactly fitting.
Then... That's a clue that you shouldn't guess that.
Do I have any help from my teammates?
Well, I think that these are... these were the bad dwarfs that Cinderella...
No.
Snow White.
Yeah,
no.
Honesty was
no.
such a...
Are these inscriptions on the outside of a building?
What a tremendous guess. No, that's not... No. not it's not it at all.
How about the inside of a building?
Yeah. Do you have another sign?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
They've got it?
They've got it?
Well, I'm afraid we're going to have to let them have it.
Oh, really?
Well.
Oh. Not
going to
take a shot at it? Just take a shot
just
at the odd
a wild
one out.
Guess.
Likelihood is odd because the others are stages in getting really drunk.
Give them 2 points for that. Yes, I think that's worth 2 points.
I am not getting this one.
All right. They didn't even guess. Other side, help them out.
Dedication.
Dedication is the odd one out.
Because in all honesty, in all seriousness,
in all likelihood.
Likelihood.
Okay.
But in all dedication, I couldn't find. I looked all over for that. All right. Then I'm going to give you a hard one, Paula, and see if you can do it. What's the odd one out? The Fugitive.
The Fugitive.
Blade Runner. A Mighty Wind.
Oh, good.
And Glee. What's the odd one out? The Fugitive, Blade Runner, A Mighty Wind, and Glee.
Well, A Mighty Wind was not a TV show.
Well, neither was Blade Runner
that I know of.
Was it?
No.
Oh.
Does this have anything to do with a person?
It does.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, who was in A Mighty Wind or Glee that was in The Fugitive? Are we talking Fugitive the television show or Fugitive the movie?
The movie.
The movie.
So you're talking...
So that's Tommy Lee Jones and, you know...
That's Harrison Ford.
Mr. Handsome, yeah, Harrison Ford. And
wasn't Harrison
who the
Ford
women?
Also in Blade
Who
Runner?
Were the women? Who were the women?
Mighty Wind is the entire... SCTV.
Yeah, Chris Guest and all those guys.
Glee.
Guest star singing on Glee?
No, not a guest star at all.
You mean a regular? Jane Lynch?
Of course.
Jane Lynch?
It is, in fact, Jane Lynch.
Oh, my God.
That is exactly right.
So Jane Lynch is the leak, and I think she was in Mighty Wind, yes.
And she was,
I don't know about Blade Runner.
I'm going to say Blade Runner is out.
Blade Runner is the odd one out.
And she's Jane Lynch.
And Jane Lynch was in all the others. We gave you a lot of help. What do you think? 7 points?
Yes.
7 points. Give him 7 points for that. Nice effort.
Good work, team.
Yeah. And finally, Barry, and this is a tough one too, but let's see if you can get it. What's the odd one out? Or who is the odd one out in this case? Jones. Lee, L-E-E, that Lee. McAuliffe, M-C-A-U-L-I-F-F-E. And Travis, T-R-A-V-I-S. Jones, McAuliffe, Travis, and Lee.
It is McAuliffe.
It is not.
Can I buy a vowel?
You may.
Oh, Terry Jones, Terry McAuliffe.
Is that one?
Wow.
Terry.
If there's a Terry Lee or a Terry Travis, I'm in big trouble here.
And Terry Travis. The famous Terry Travis.
This is a guy who is
him. Which would make the odd one out, of course.
Terry Lee.
Let's start over again, shall we? This is tough.
Okay.
Right?
So this is.
Is it Bobby?
No, it's not about a name.
Okay. It's not about
No, it's about what they did or didn't do.
These are people in the military?
They are.
Yeah.
And there was a General Lee.
Yes.
There was.
There was a General McAuliffe.
There was.
And there was a General. Francine, you know all about the military.
There was an Emperor Jones, and there was a General Travis.
General Travis, we'll go with Jones, the odd person out.
Jones is not the odd person out, no.
So there's General Jones, General Lee, General General McAuliffe, and we'll go with Travis as the odd man out.
Travis is not the odd man out.
So there was a General Travis.
Do you know over there?
General Jones and General McAuliffe, and Lee is the odd man out.
Lee is the odd man out. Yes, it is. Lee is the odd man out. Can you imagine why? The other side knows, I think.
A general that lost.
Well, let's give them 4 points because that'll put an end to this. Let's just give them 4 points. Other side, what do you think?
I thought it was linked by the Alamo. But
it is not, but that's okay. That is the Travis, Colonel Travis.
Colonel Travis.
Anyone in the audience want to take a shot? Surrender is exactly right.
Lee
from the back of the room. John Paul Jones would not give up the ship.
Right.
McAuliffe, when asked to surrender, said nuts. In Bastogne.
Right.
Travis drew the line in the sand at the Alamo. The only one who actually surrendered, thank goodness for a generation of people, was Robert E. Lee. And he's the only one who surrendered. The others refused to surrender. I think they deserve a round of applause for a tough round of odd man out. Well, I hope you had fun with that. Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends Pamela Rose and the Wild Women of Song. It is the first of the Says You Bluffing Rounds. Arnie, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The others have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Francine's team. 10 points up for grabs to Francine, if she can find the bluffer, or to you, Arnie, if she can't. A few seconds to come up with a definition for the word hugaboo. H-U-G-A-B-O-O. Hugaboo. Lady?
This is a song written by Peggy Lee. I know a little bit about a lot of things, but I don't know enough about you. Just when I think you're mine, you draw a different line. And baby, what can I do? I read the latest news, no buttons on my suits. But baby, I'm confused about you. You've got me in a spin. What a stew I'm in. I don't know enough about you.
Hi, this is Richard. I just want to take a moment and thank all the folks who joined the fun with us this year and sold out shows from coast to coast. Details for next season's tapings will be up soon on the website at sayu.net. That's SAYSYOU. Where if you just follow that Join the Fun link, we'll show you how to join the fun. So whether you're in Nashville or New England, North or South, we hope you'll be able to come be in our audience next season for a live performance of Says You.
About a lot of things I don't know enough about you.
Says You returns after this from home.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, the 1% speaks. A former Bain Capital man and Romney supporter says income inequality shows our economy is working. Plus, a breastfeeding 3-year-old and mom on the cover of Time magazine. We'll talk with the guru of attachment parenting. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
Weekday mornings from 9 till 11.
Support for Says You on WPLN is made possible in part by the Nashville Public Radio Producers Circle, whose generous members, including Sue and Eric Broder and Brian Trauger, believe in the lasting value of public radio. It's 26 minutes after 9, 65 degrees in Nashville.
Bit about geology, and a little more about biology. Honey, I'm just a whiz when it comes to psychology, but I don't know enough about you. No, I don't know. I don't know enough about, I don't know enough about you.
That is Pamela Rose with the Wild Women of Song. Miss Pamela Rose on vocals, Tammy Hall on the piano, and somehow Sam Bevan snuck in there on the bass, and Kent Bryson snuck in on the drums, guys. Now, thank you very much. This gives us a chance to thank our scorekeepers. Would you help me thank Maddie Street and Tuvia Bergson-Michelson? Thank you very much for keeping the score. We've had a few moments with the word hugaboo. We will go first to a smiling Carolyn Fay Fox.
Hugaboo sounds like a term of endearment, but it's a very particular term of endearment used only by, say, Donald Trump's wife. Because hugaboo means pomposity, and to use it in a limerick. There once was a man, and you know who, whose hair became a bugaboo. All through his life, whoever was his wife would call him her big ol' hugaboo.
Somewhere in there was a definition I lost.
Pomposity.
Pomposity. Hugaboo. Pomposity. Could be that. Or it could be something else. Arnold?
Well, apparently it's some slang term for romance is swindle, because it means feigning love and affection to obtain financial gain.
Who would do that?
Donald Trump. Fellow named Trump.
Feigning love and affection for financial gain.
Yes.
Is to hugaboo.
Yes. It's to pull off a hugaboo.
It could be. Pull off a hugaboo. It could be. Or it could be something else. Paula?
I was really hoping it was a better name for a comforter or something like that. But in fact, I don't know where you dig these up. This is kind of like a research term. You're not supposed to get bogged down in the details, right, when you do research. But a hugaboo is one you really want to avoid because it's a detail of absolutely no importance.
A detail of no importance. Just a hugaboo is all it is.
That's
could
all.
Be. It could be that. So it could either be a detail of no importance, just a little hugaboo. It could be feigning love and affection for financial gain, or it could be pomposity. It is one of those three, and the choice, Francine, is yours.
Yes, it is. Okay, well, I'm going to rule out pomposity if my... Oh, you like that one.
I think pomposity's in the running.
Yeah. Oh. It's like falderal. You know, it's one of these very elaborate sounds for very little...
Okay.
He's just a great hugaboo.
Yeah.
Like in the poem. The famous poem.
The famous poem. Okay.
Could be short for hugaboo.
Wouldn't have gone there, but you think she was working pretty hard to bury it in the poem?
Yeah. Yeah.
I myself would have gone with feigning love to obtain financial gain.
That sounds rational, but that's why I think it's a mistake.
Because this is an irrational program.
I just don't see Richard, you know, going for that kind of a definition.
You don't?
No.
All right.
I don't see him much, though. I don't,
all right.
You know.
Let's say...
He doesn't even call.
Let's say that we'll go with Carolyn's definition of pomposity. Hugaboo, old hugaboo, blowhard he was.
Well, Carolyn, Francine's been talked into it by her teammates. They say that hugaboo is pomposity. Is that, in fact, what hugaboo is?
Hugaboo, pomposity.
Hey! 10 points. For Francine's team.
I'd like to thank my teammates for setting me straight.
Let's go on to round 3, eponymisms. Please describe the following items named for someone. Carolyn, what is Shavian Wit?
Shavian Wit is named for Shaw.
Yes, it is. Any Shaw in particular?
Bernard Shaw.
George Bernard Shaw is right. Can you describe it in any way?
It is wit without hair.
Oh, it's wit with a lot of hair.
Unlike pomposity.
They forget that it is possible to lose points in this game. They forget that occasionally.
She's the one who came up with hairball before, too.
Yes, that's true.
There's a theme.
I'm trying to clear my throat here.
Yeah.
Can you describe the kind of wit, and why is it, if it's George Bernard Shaw, why is it Shavian? Not Shawian.
It's
because
hard
you
to
can't say Shawian.
Shawian.
You know, they're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Yes. That's exactly right. You know what? I'm going to give you the 10 points for that.
Wit. It's social wit. It's class wit.
Yes, it is. It's the witty in the style of George Bernard Shaw. Okay. Ironic sentences with a balanced meter.
Youth is wasted on the young.
America and England are two nations divided by a common language. It was originally Shawian. But Shaw thought it sounded like baby babbling. So he changed it himself.
He did.
Yes, he did.
Talk about pomposity.
Well, if anybody could do it, he'd be the guy. So.
Or you've had Elmer Fuddian wit or something. Shawian.
Try this one, Tony. What's an O. Henry ending?
An O. Henry ending is an unexpected ending. It usually comes very soon after an O. Henry beginning.
Yes, sometimes.
You know, that's one of the reasons why I read him. One sitting, you can read a whole O. Henry.
Or eat it one.
So, you know, it's a surprise, emotionally effective ending, you know, like, talk about Shavian, you know, when the husband and the wife...
Gift
of the Magi. When the woman shaves off her hair in order to buy... I can't remember.
A fob for his watch, which he sells to buy
a locket. Yes.
Right. Arnie, which team are you on?
Yeah, that's 10 points.
He's already... That's exactly right.
It's an ending with a twist, a snap, a zinger, you know, that kind of thing. It's the gift of the Magi. She sells the hair, he buys the barrettes. It's just that kind of ending. Try this one, Arnie. What's the Hays Code? Yes.
Yes.
I think you know.
Mr. Hays. Will Hays.
Will Hays is right.
Will Hays.
Single beds and movies.
Single beds and movies. Right. Yeah. Lots of pajamas.
No naked anything.
Clark Gable will put the T-shirt back on. Yes, he was brought in to tame Hollywood.
Give it a moral code.
And give it a moral code. And basically provide censorship.
How'd that work out?
Yeah.
About what time period would you say?
The 1930s. The
That's
late
exactly 1930s. Right. 10 points. Very good, Arnold. It's the 1934 moral code of one William Harrison Hayes, former RNC chair and postmaster general. He was the postmaster general of the U.S. when he became the first president of the future Motion Picture Association of America. It's the strict code for moral standards which outlawed, among other things, Jane Russell.
Yes, eventually. Yeah. That didn't last long.
How did he feel about licking stamps when he was postmaster?
I have no idea. You know what I wanted to ask, though? Is that the one where if a man and woman were in bed, there had to be a foot on the floor?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's also called parietal hours.
Yeah, yes. That was college.
Yeah.
That was college.
Yeah. College, Hollywood, it's all the same.
Boy, is it.
Had to have a foot on the floor? Okay. Try this one, Francine. What's a Pullman car?
Oh, a Pullman car. A Pullman car was a sleeping car on the train.
That's exactly right. Can you imagine where people first became aware of this? What was the debut of the Pullman car?
The World's Fair.
No. It was actually George Pullman is the man's name.
Anything to do with the president?
It has something to do with the president.
Oh, the first time the president took a train trip, you know, they needed to find a place for him to sleep?
No, it's a little more...
Serious.
Yeah, a little more serious than that.
Oh, are you talking about the Pullman strike?
Oh,
no.
The death of a president.
Yes.
Well, was it the president's body carried in the car? Was it President Lincoln?
It was Lincoln. Yep. It was Lincoln. You've seen many times the funeral procession that went from state to state with Abraham Lincoln, and that was a car that was designed by George Pullman for Lincoln's funeral car, an extremely elaborate car, and then 2 years later, he introduced it to the general public. So that's 10 points for that.
Thank you.
Try this one, Paula. What might be meant by housemanization? H-A-U-S-S-M-A-N-N. Housemanization.
Whoa, housemanization. He was an interior designer.
You don't know how close you are. He's not an interior designer.
An architect.
After a fashion, yes, he was.
A fashionable architect.
So he started some trend in building or architecture that was copied all over the place.
Yes,
and therefore.
Building bathrooms in houses.
I know this.
No, but an interesting thought.
We're talking commercial buildings? We're talking...
Yeah, among other things.
He was the first one to put in elevators?
No.
That was Mr. Otis, I suppose.
I think I might know this.
You may know this?
I might know this.
I'm going to give them... They got to the design element. Give them 5 points for that. Help them out, Francine.
I think it is Baron Haussmann, and I think he was involved in laying out Paris.
Oh. That is exactly right. Very good. Baron Haussmann it is. Haussmannization means to remodel a city along beautiful lines, and it comes from, it's named for Baron Georges Eugene Haussmann, and it celebrates his 19th century beautification of Paris. Very good, Francine. Nice job. And finally, Barry, I ask you this only because I know you have experienced this. What might be meant by an Immelmann maneuver?
A what?
I-M-M-E-L-M-A-N-N. An Immelmann maneuver.
An Immelmann maneuver is a maneuver with... Tony's going to do it in person. It's where an airplane...
And 10 points for Mr. Kahn, yes. Another great moment in radio, ladies and gentlemen.
If you'll come back in the evening, we have the synchronized swim for you.
Go for it, Bear.
It's where an airplane basically reverses direction 180 degrees by flying along horizontally,
going up at a very sharp vertical, coming over on its back, and then rotating 180 degrees in a roll, and then traveling back in the same direction.
That is exactly right. So I'm glad I gave you guys the 10 points.
Why would it do that?
Yeah.
That was a military maneuver mostly because otherwise the barf bags
why?
Are loaded.
Well,
you know?
So you can, it's when you don't have the bag, it's a way of just spreading it over the entire inside of the plane.
It is named for World War I flying ace Max Immelmann. It was his technique of abruptly swooping up in front of a pursuer, rolling over behind him to make the pursuer the target. It worked with legendary success, legendary, until one cloudless day in the middle of 1916 when it ended.
So can we have our 10 points?
You got it. You got the bell. Excellent. Nice job. Let's go on to round four, which is Francine's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word, two will bluff. 10 points, Arnie, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to create a definition for the word biffo.
Biffo.
B-I-F-F-O. Biffo.
Biffo.
Folks?
Biffo.
We'll do this song that was written in 1920 by Ida Cox. I hear these women moaning about their monkey men, about their no-good husbands and their cheating friends. These poor women sit around all day and moan, and they're wondering why they're wandering. Papas don't come home. Wild women don't worry. Wild women don't have the blues. No blues, no blues. Now if you've got a man, don't ever be on the square, 'cause if you do, you'll have a woman everywhere. I'm gonna tell you something, I wouldn't tell you no lie. While the women are the only ones that ever get by, because wild women don't worry, wild women don't have the blues. They don't ever, ever have to have the blues. Tell me how.
You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Just follow that show downloads link and find high-quality copies available. Briefly, Says You pauses. We'll be right back.
On the next Fresh Air, why we're getting fat. One third of Americans are obese, another third are overweight. Kelly Brownell explains why changes in eating habits and our sedentary lifestyles pose serious threats to adults and children. He's one of the experts featured in a new HBO documentary series about obesity called The Weight of a Nation. Join us.
Weekdays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m.
You're listening to Says You here on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio. Coming up in about 17 minutes at 10 o'clock is Studio 360. And then at 11 o'clock, it's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. Right now the time is 9:43. It's 64 degrees in Nashville.
And the Wild Women of Song. Thank you very much, you guys, for giving us a little time with the word biffo. We'll go first to Tony Khan.
It's a pet product for polishing a dog's teeth. Yeah. Biffo. That's biffo. An exclamation mark. Yeah. Without an exclamation
mark.
Without an exclamation mark. It is the, it comes from the Commedia dell'arte, and it is sort of a clown second banana. There's the baffo and the biffo. The baffo is the one who does the slugging, and the biffo is the one who gets slapped. It's like, you know, the schlemiel and the schlemazel.
Right.
It's the baffo and the biffo. Okie dokie.
The biffo. Clown second banana in clown opera second. And the Commedia dell'arte is the biffo. Okay? You laugh. It could be that. It could be right. Or it could be something else. Francine?
Biffo. It's British slang for bringing a metal surface to a high shine.
To bring a metal surface to a high shine?
Biffo.
Just you biffo the sucker. And you just... Okay. To buff metal is to biffo. It could be, or it could be something else. What say you, Barry?
Biffo is fighting or aggressive behavior. You may recall that the original Hollywood Reporter review of Raging Bull was Blockbuster Biffo Bio Does Boffo Biz.
Wow, good
it's
one.
It's a noun, is what you're saying?
Fight?
What was that?
What was that I said? What did I
it's
say?
Fighting
like Raging Bull, fighting, biffo, biffo.
Fighting aggressive behavior is biffo. It's either that or to buff metal or the clown second. See? See how much better the clown second banana sounds now?
See?
Clown second banana and the Commedia dell'arte. It's one of those three, and the choice, Arnold, is yours.
Jeez.
Well, whenever there's enough time to make up that buffo, biffo headline.
Mm-hmm.
I'm suspicious.
I am too, Paula.
Meaning you think that
it could be aggressive behavior, but I too really love
Barry's aggressive behavior or the word.
Oh. I also love, you know, Tony Sudan literate. I just love Commedia dell'arte.
Yes.
Second banana.
You take a piece. It's something you make with a salami, you know.
Yeah.
Commedia dell'arte.
But Biffo does sound like a clown. Biffo, bozo.
Yeah. Mortadella.
So, what is your point?
That's the dead clown at the end.
I think it's Barry.
Yeah, I think it's Barry.
We think it's Barry.
We think it's Barry.
Boy, that's a groundswell over
hello,
there.
Hello,
no, there's another show after this.
Yeah,
so
I understand. Barry, it's a groundswell. They think that biffo is aggressive fighting behavior. Is that, in fact, what biffo is?
That's stupid! It's fighting or aggressive thing.
It sure is. Sure is.
Good, good. Redemption.
Getting harder and harder to fool these guys. Let's close tonight. Gordon Hansen of Berkeley, California, loves to ride the subway. It's his hobby, in fact. Are you here today, Gordon?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Well, I'm really sorry about that.
Gordon.
It should clear up soon.
Okay, if you don't like this category, second row, seat 7, right there. Gordon Hansen of Berkeley, California, loves to ride the subway. It's his hobby, in fact, and the origin of his contribution around titled Notes from the Underground. From the following list of rail transit station names, please list the world city in which the corresponding transit system is located.
Ah.
For example, if I started with Wood Island, anyone know? And I went to Ruggles.
That's Boston.
Boston. That's Boston.
Boston.
Yeah, Wood Island, Ruggles, Park Street, and Harvard, and you're in Boston. So you get where we're going here?
Get where you're going.
All right. Okay. Try this one, Carolyn. Botafogo.
Botafogo.
What, you
want to
spell that?
Botafogo. Botafogo.
Botafogo.
Yeah, now I can't concentrate. Now I'm thinking about
it. Well, weird Italian name.
Botafogo. It actually sounds South American, doesn't it?
It does. Well,
Is there...
El segundo? The next one? The second one?
The second one?
Do you want the second one? Sure.
You don't want to take a guess?
I'll take a guess.
Well, is there a subway system in Argentina?
Yes, in Buenos Aires.
It is not Buenos Aires. To Botafogo add Flamengo.
Oh.
F-L-A-M-E-N-G-O, Flamengo.
Oh, wow. Is this in Barcelona?
It is not in Barcelona. To Botafogo and Flamengo add Carioca.
Oh, Rio de Janeiro.
Rio de Janeiro is exactly right. That's 4 points for that. No, 6 points for that. Very good.
Wow.
You didn't need Ipanema General. You did not need that. Try this one, Tony.
Wow.
City in which the following are subway stops, Navy Yard.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, go ahead.
Washington, D.C.
He's exactly right. 10 points. Very good, Barry. Wow. Washington, D.C.
Wow.
That's way the heck down there. That was good for you to know that when you didn't need Metro Center, L'Enfant Plaza, or Smithsonian.
Smithsonian would have been a giveaway.
Yeah. Try this one, Arnie. Subway system that would have the stop Cadillac. C-A-D-I-L-L-A-C. Cadillac.
Detroit?
It is not.
Okay.
Detroit.
Okay.
That was the throw-off.
Cadillac.
To Cadillac add Bonaventure, B-O-N-A-V-E-N-T-U-R-E. Cadillac Bonaventure.
Where's that school?
Is this in Canada?
It is.
Oh,
all right.
Very good.
Quebec or Montreal? What are we saying?
Montreal.
It is Montreal.
Very good.
8 points. Nice job.
Wow. Excellent.
They're killing this one, Gordon. They're doing a good job on this.
It's a great category.
Yeah, I like this category. To Cadillac and Bonaventure, we would have added McGill and Montreal.
Oh, yeah,
McGill.
That would have been it.
You didn't need that. Try this one, Francine. Military Museum.
Military Museum.
Not Baltimore.
Military Museum. I think I need another one.
Okay. To Military Museum, add Agricultural Exhibition Center.
Wow.
Made it totally clear. Do they have subways in Australia?
This is America.
This is one hell of a town. It's all like that.
This is one hell of a town. It really is.
Military Museum Agriculture Exhibition Center. Mm-hmm.
So this is America someplace.
Nope.
It's not America.
Oh, Disney. What, you suppose one of the Disney properties? Mm-hmm.
Military.
You'll get it on the third one, obviously, but it's...
No, it's not America, he said. Spain?
Nope. To Military Museum and Agricultural Exhibition Center, add Tiananmen. T-I-A...
Oh,
and
China.
Tiananmen Square.
China.
Beijing
is correct. That's 6 points. Very good. Third guess. Okay. Try this one, Paula. Admiralty. A-D-M-I-R-A-L-T-Y. Admiralty.
Oh.
Well, is that Baltimore?
It is not.
Okay.
Baltimore. Admiralty. To Admiralty, add Diamond Hill.
Diamond Hill.
Not Diamond Head, but Diamond Hill.
No
Admiralty and Diamond Hill.
Johannesburg.
What a wonderful guess.
Yeah.
Not correct, but wonderful. And
it sounds like it.
To Admiralty and Diamond Hill, add My Foo, M-E-I, F-O-O.
You can transfer from there to Botafogo.
Hong Kong.
Hong Kong is exactly right.
Wow.
6 points.
Wow.
Nice job.
Good. Yeah. Okay.
And don't worry about anything, nothing riding on this but the whole game, Bear. Where might you find the following, and I hope I pronounced this correctly, Bohuth.
Spell it.
B-O. H-O-O-T-H, Bohuth.
Oh, that sounds like that would be Johannesburg.
But it isn't. That double O was a real clue there, but it's not that.
Okay.
To Bohuth.
Oh, Amsterdam.
No.
Oh, that's what it was.
to Bohuth, add martyrs. M-A-R-T-Y-R-S. Martyrs.
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 Who
likes martyrs? Who likes martyrs?
Who likes martyrs?
Martyrs.
Take a guess.
Martyrs would be, this is someplace where they have some martyrs. Right?
Or they had some.
Yeah.
Had some.
Or they revered those
right,
they had.
Right.
Martyrs are usually in the past.
Thriving martyrs is not...
Yes.
Martyrs.
Take a wild shot.
Where did Luther...
Oh, okay. Maybe we're in Germany.
Are we in Germany?
We are not.
No.
To Bohuth and martyrs add Giza. G-I-Z-A.
This
we're in Japan.
No, this is
Japan.
Cairo.
Cairo. Cairo.
Cairo is exactly right. Six points.
So who are the martyrs that they're so interested in Cairo?
I'm sorry?
Who would the martyrs be?
I don't know.
The people that built the pyramid.
This is the Passover.
Yeah, really.
This is the Passover story in the subway.
Ahmed and Edie Martyr, they built a large part of the subway.
What?
That was the original subway Passover.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Boho?
This is a rough crowd.
Giza is right for 6 points, and I got to tell you, it was we did the word barn burner several weeks ago. This was a barn burner today. And the victors with 75 points, Francine Akbar's team. Congratulations. Winners this week.
All right. Okay. All right. Yes.
Good game, you guys. Good game. That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Joanne Wallace, Robin Smith, and all the folks at KQED-FM. And also to the incomparable Lenore Naxon, Geese Graphics, Jordan Shapiro, and all the folks at the Jewish Community Center of San Francisco. Thanks so much. Absolutely. Sure and Salkind write the words, Antonio Oliard saves the sounds, and Zach Moore is the AP with the get up and go. We close tonight with a little bit of wit from the aforementioned Mr. Shaw. The trouble is, too many people lack the power of conversation, but not the power of speech. That's our closing thought from San Francisco. We'll see you all next week. For Says You in San Francisco comes from the good folks at KQED-FM and the Intercontinental Mark Hopkins Hotel. Historic elegance in the heart of San Francisco. On the web at intercontinentalhotels.com. Benjamin Zim the Skinny.
Says You. Created and produced by Pippin and Finn. Boston.
You've been listening to Says You on 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all of our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org.
I'm Robin Young. Join us next time for the news and these stories here and now. The most watched Senate race in the country is in Massachusetts. We'll check in on the race between Republican incumbent Scott Brown and the Democratic consumer advocate Elizabeth Warren. Also, J.P. Morgan's big loss. Is it a gain for the Volcker Rule? That's Public Radio's Daily Digest of News and Culture here and now.
Weekdays at noon.
Hello again, I'm Warren Alney. Next time on To the Point, not much is being done to slow the pace of global warming. Is it time for Plan B? Can humans manipulate the climate to cool things off? We'll hear about geoengineering next time on To the Point from Public Radio International.
Weeknights at 8 o'clock.
Hi there, I'm Gian Gomeshi. Brent Bambury sits in for me as your guest host today. He's joined by the author of a recent article titled How My Aunt Marge Ended Up in the Deep Freeze. Yes, Joe Rhodes' Aunt Marge wasn't just the meanest woman in East Texas. She inspired the new Jack Black comedy, Bernie. We'll bring you that coming up on Q from PRI.
Weeknights at 10 o'clock.
National weather today, showers and possibly a thunderstorm. Some of the storms could produce heavy rain with a high near 70 degrees. Right now, it's